the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
What's up, everybody? It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. It is Friday, June 14th. I'm Casey Lawrence.
I'm Chris Grace from Sydney, Australia still.
That is correct. ladies and gentlemen, we have an NBA champion.
Yes, we do. This is incredible.
We certainly do.
This timeline, I don't think was picked by anybody.
Nobody. Not a single person. Well, I mean, partially because nobody wants to say, oh, everybody's going to get injured forever.
Yeah. Nobody would have... I think the thing is, I bet almost no one picked the Toronto Raptors to win the championship at the beginning of the year. And in a way, it's still kind of like against the Warriors, this is sort of the only way that it would have happened. Or that you could have reliably picked the Raptors, is to assume that there were major injuries against whoever they were playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really the amount of injuries that Golden State, you know, got to a game six with, very, very, very out of control.
Yeah. I was thinking that in some ways, I think this is such a good result for basketball in terms of the overall arc of, you know, who's in power and who's not. I was thinking it's almost like a good, like, mid-season moment in one of the good seasons of Game of Thrones, you know?
Yeah, I can see that, minus knowing anything about Game of Thrones. Do you know the only Game of Thrones I've ever watched is your play about it in rehearsals?
Playing at the Sydney Opera House right now.
That's right.
So in a way, I think it's, you know, overall, the fact that the Raptors are the championship and, you know, all the storylines that go with that, I think is generally very healthy for the league and great for next year. It leaves next year so in so many interesting positions with all these different teams.
The league's going to be really, really different next year, especially because we're probably not going to see Kevin Durant in it.
Yeah. Well, that's in a way, I think this is like the healthiest timeline. And then in another way, I think this is the darkest possible timeline for the NBA having its best basketball. You know, I feel like the Warriors were still the team that was playing the best basketball out of everybody for the last 5 years, including this year. And there's really no way that we're going to see that again next year or maybe ever again.
No, the Warriors are not going to be the dominant team next year. There's just no way they can do it.
It's weird. I feel like it's very possible that the door just got shut on their era entirely in one day, basically.
Yeah, here's how that door stays open. Kevin Durant signs the long-term deal. Klay Thompson signs the long-term deal, and they keep the core together. And not next year, but the year after, they go into it with Curry, Draymond, Klay, Durant, and whoever their first round pick is going to be at the end of next year. Because I would bottom out as quickly as possible, try to get one lottery pick and see if you could run it back.
Well, I was going to say, does Klay's recovery is potentially a year as well, right?
Yeah, it's about 9 to 12 months.
Yeah. So then the question is, will Draymond and Steph be okay with tanking for a year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll be okay with tanking. But, you know, are they going to be able to just gut through it and get them to the playoffs? And, you know, if they don't have that first rounder, then okay, fine. You know, they're just going to be the same, you know, four great players that they had if they can run it back. But it certainly feels like everybody on that team wants to run it back, right?
I mean, you know, my calculus of Durant staying hasn't really changed. I think it's a great situation for him and Klay to just be like, you know, let's keep the squad together and get healthy and then go again.
Yeah.
You know, even the looks on Steph and Draymond's faces during that last 0.9 seconds, when there was that stoppage time, their looks on their faces were not really like super sad. They were just like, eh, they got us. Like, it wasn't, you know, I mean, that there's a great luxury when you're going for your fourth ring, you know, for you to feel like, you know, good for the other team. Actually, I remember I used to play in the gay rugby league in New York, and we would go to this international gay rugby championship, which is like squads from every single major city that has a big gay population put together a rugby team. But like the teams from Sydney and Melbourne dominate these competitions because
that makes total sense.
Yeah. So Sydney had won, I believe, two in a row. They ended up winning three out of four. And this is a tournament that happens every 2 years. I was on the New York team that in 2008, we beat them by 3 points and won the championship. And
oh, snap.
I remember, yeah, it was great. We're the only American team to win it, like probably in 15 years or something like that. And I remember their demeanor towards us when we won was very like, I don't know. It was very like they had a Tesla and they're letting us drive it for a weekend. Like they're just like, yeah, enjoy this. Yeah. Guys.
Yeah. Just like, don't worry about it. We'll be back next year. Yeah. Just have fun. You know, we appreciate you.
Yeah. That, and it was a very much like a winner's, and I mean, it was very nice. You know, they were not shitty about it, but it was, I also noticed, I was like, oh, that's what you can do when you've won a couple times in a row.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to watch the game, you know, before or after? How was your game watching experience? I wanted to check in and see how Australia was treating you.
So then I found a service called Kayo, K-A-Y-O, that supposedly lets you watch some stuff. However, I had trouble with my hotel Wi-Fi keeping up with it. I ended up with a two-week trial of Kayo, but I did watch, I downloaded the game and watched chunks of it and watched highlights. So that's where I was at. Yeah. While the game was actually on, I was, while the game was happening, I was shooting basketball hoops at an old vintage theme park in Sydney called Luna Park. I was checking the score while in between games of trying to shoot basketballs to win a stuffed animal.
Okay. All right. So you were using some basketball skills to make your day better. Did you win the parlor trick game?
Well, let's just say that I went, who had a comparable line to my shooting? I basically did a Quinn Cook. I went 0 for 2, or I went 3 for 11 and did a Steph Curry.
Okay, so we can assume you don't have to get a bigger carry-on bag to bring everything home after the long trip.
No, I have a small sheet of stickers for what I want.
Oh boy, do you know why they don't why it's harder to make those than it is to make normal shots?
Well, the balls were very inflated.
Balls are super inflated is one.
What else was it?
Two. The rims are actually smaller.
Uh-huh.
In circumference. And three, it's about a foot higher than normal.
Uh-huh. So you know, it's almost so like it these circus people are like trying to con me.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to take your money and not give you anything of value in return. And even if you do win something that's worth even less than the money that you spent to play the game.
Yeah, that's the hilarious part, is I could just go buy those things for $2.
And then, I mean, you're somebody who knows how to use a Chinese dropshipper, so of course you can get it. You know, you're exactly. You are Wish certified. You know how to do this.
I'm Wish certified. I'm also supporting, Rakuten. Whatever Rakuten is. I feel like they're in the same ballpark.
It's Rakuten, and if you had said it into a microphone in San Francisco about 6 months ago, you would have won a cool prize. They had an actual promotion where they were like, hey, can you pronounce our name? And if people said it correctly, this thing would give them a prize. And they were like good prizes, like iPhones and shit.
Is that also a Chinese dropshipper company?
I do not believe that they are. I believe they are a Japanese company, just from the way that their name sounds. And I know that they bought Overstock.com. That's what Overstock.com is now, a Rakuten property.
Rakuten. So if it's, yes, it is Japanese. So in other words, there's no emphasis on any syllable. Isn't that how most Japanese words are? Rakuten.
Rakuten, yes.
So, I mean, congrats to the Raptors. I think it's super fun that they won. I guess it doesn't matter if you practice because Kyle Lowry had a great game. this is what I think is interesting. So first of all, I'm happy for everyone related with the Toronto Raptors, including Kyle Lowry, except Drake. But that's fine. He's their ambassador. I'm really happy for Kawhi. I'm happy for Masai. I think it's so great that he really put together, you know, he's been sort of like one of the wonderkins of the new generation of basketball people.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating that he got his ring before Daryl Morey did.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what I thought was interesting. I'm not even sure the Raptors would be the favorites to win next year.
So we don't know, right? We can't know until Kawhi decides where he's going.
Yeah.
And even then, they're not the on-book favorites. I saw the early line on-book favorites. Do you know who the on-book favorites to win the title are next year?
Ooh. I'll say the Rockets and the Bucks, maybe?
No, the Rockets and the Bucks are not the favorites. This team had 9-2 odds on winning the title next year that you could buy in a sports book today, which 9-2, that's pretty good. That's not like an overwhelming consensus favorite, but it's a pretty strong favorite.
Ooh, the 76ers?
Nope.
Or is it just the Warriors again?
It is not the Warriors. The Warriors were 11-1.
Okay, who is it?
It's the Los Angeles Lakers.
I was going to say that, and I was like, this is the dumb thing to say.
Right, so here's where we have to acknowledge that Vegas and betting treats everything differently, right? Yeah. So they have to price it so that they don't lose a shit ton of money on a big bet like that, because people bet Lakers more than they bet anything else. Right. The Knicks are also up there. So people bet Lakers, people bet Knicks. So they don't get good odds, because if they do end up winning, if they get, you know, at that like low percentage chance, they'd have such a liability on their books. So, it's not that they believe that the Lakers are the best team in the league next year, because ha ha ha. But what they believe is that they are going to be good enough where that a lot of people are going to bet on them.
Right. I would say a value bet would be like the Bucks, and I still think that I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, especially now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockets are up there next year.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think they were like second or something.
I mean, even for the Chris Grace darkest timeline is that all this happened and next year the Rockets win because of the West is wide open for them.
Yeah. Let me give you the full spread afterwards. At 9-2, it was the Lakers. At 6-1, it was Milwaukee, the Bucks, and the Los Angeles Clippers. Houston was 8-1. Toronto was 10-1. Boston and Philly were 12-1. Golden State was 14-1. Denver, OKC, 16-1. And it goes down from there.
So now, like, so this is why I think it's a great position for the league next year. It's wide open next year. Even if Kawhi stays, they're not a lock. Even a lock to make it out of the East.
I mean, you know, they were very fortunate in a lot of their playoff series this year. That doesn't mean that they're not, you know, a really, really great team, but it does mean that given a couple of bounces, you know, maybe one of four bounces going a different way, they're not even in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know?
I know, which is pretty crazy. Like, the idea that Yeah, I mean, it's just it's amazing to me.
Yeah,
the Rockets, you know, not being able to overcome a Durantless Warriors, the Blazers not being able to do it, and Golden State basically kind of limping into the finals and then really limping out of the finals. I read some Warriors bulletin boards where they were saying like they would have rather just lost in round two, like, and just had everybody be like, you know, lose but be not injured in the way that they are.
Yeah, I can see that as a feeling that they're like, oh yeah, people definitely believe this. You know, the bummer about it is that, you know, players can get injured at any time. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And in these finals, it seemed like every injury was just happening to one team and one team only. It was the Warriors.
Yeah. And I also feel like I think what makes it a little more tough for them is that Clay and Durant had injury, like they were pushing injuries that they had previously, whether or not they were the same direct injury, they were coming off of like, they both could have been like, I'm out for the rest of the playoffs. And Kevon Looney could have too. They were all pushing themselves back into action faster than certainly you or I would have done it.
Oh yeah, I'd have been laid up for months with any of those injuries. Yeah.
So I think
Kevon Looney cracked his cartilage in his chest.
Yeah. Just insane. So I think that makes it a little more tough for the Warriors to handle, because like they really did, they almost played it like it was an NFL game, and they are going to pay the price severely for it.
Yeah. Next year is not going to be pretty for them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your favorite player. The guy who you're so happy won a championship. The number one in your heart practiced his speech after the trophy ceremony. Let's talk about Kyle Lowry's game six.
I'll put it this way. I guess I owe him an apology because I was saying that he wasn't performing well in the playoffs and that he should like practice harder and he should not publicly say that he doesn't like to practice.
Yeah.
But I never said he was not a good player. You know, like I just think he could be better and more consistent. Even in this game, even in this series, he put up two kind of stinker games. And he also, yeah, I believe, kicked off this playoffs by scoring 0 points in a game.
0 points. That's what he did. Kyle Lowry will have those games.
But he was the best player.
Now he's a champion. Game six.
Yeah, oh, he was the best player. There was actually an interesting point that, and actually I should look at this. Somebody was saying that there was actually a better Raptor in every single game in the series than Kawhi. But that he was still the MVP because he was the like second best. Well, maybe not in game. Let me look at all their wins. So basically, like,
so it's like in Mario Kart when you get second place in every single Grand Prix race, but the person who got first place in all of the races got like 15th in the other ones, so you automatically take first. Those are tough ones. Those are real tough ones.
I will say that just by looking at the box scores, that's definitely not true. But it's a fun idea. I think what people are thinking about is that Siakam had a couple like crazy games and Lowry had a great game six. But like in general, Kawhi was still the best player.
Yeah.
What did you think of Kyle Lowry's game six?
It was really cool to see him come out from the beginning and say, I want to win this game. He certainly asserted himself in the first half. And, you know, I think that, you know, mostly it was just so fun to watch them make tough shots and absolutely live up to the moment. You know,
yeah.
they didn't shy away from it all series. There was no game that didn't feel like they could have won it, right? The Warriors won two close games, and the Raptors were in every single game that they played in the finals. And that's, I mean, credit to them. They did a fantastic job of getting the Warriors out of their rhythm. And, you know, Fred Van Vliet hitting shots, you know, Kawhi Leonard being consistent as hell, Marc Gasol playing well, Serge Ibaka with the absolute throwback of a series. So I read something today that it just blew my mind. Who in your mind is younger, Kevin Durant or Serge Ibaka?
Oh, Kevin Durant.
It's Serge Ibaka.
Oh, you know, I think it just seems like he's, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's probably a racist reason why I also think that.
I mean, here's the deal. It's just that they've both been in the league for forever, and you think, oh, okay, well, you know, Serge has been in forever, and he's a big man who has seen the game change around him, and those people always feel a bit older. But he's like, right. He's not an old dude. He came into the league young, and he's just been on a bunch of teams. And that's kind of the thing about it.
I think it's also because he already seems like he's on the downside of his career. And similar to what you're saying about things changing around him. And also, he does kind of talk like an old man. Like, and he kind of jokes like an old man in his Chef series.
That is pretty fair.
Yeah. Now, do you think I'll just put my opinion first. I think it'd be crazy for Kawhi not to re-sign there.
I also think that, but honestly, I don't know what he wants or what he needs, you know? There's so much more that goes into it than any of that, and he can kind of leave with a clean conscience. I don't think he will. I don't think he should, but if he does, he delivered Toronto a championship. That's more than you could ask.
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy is he could leave and be the greatest Toronto Raptor ever. Like, one season, come in, play an amazing season, get them the ring, and leave. Like, that's kind of the fantasy of what people thought LeBron could do with teams. Just go into any old team and just make, you know, get a ring for them. I don't know. It just seems like, why not stay at this point? It seems like a good organization. They seem pretty stacked for a few years. And like what you were talking before about the way they're competed in every single game. It's extremely impressive that they essentially could have wrapped this up in game five. And they could have really mentally collapsed from that. And this Toronto Raptors organization has collapsed before. So for like Leonard's veteran presence, and who knows to what degree it's also Nurse's influence.
Yeah.
That was probably the most impressive thing to me, was that like they had basically a crushing like loss going into the final home game of an organization in Oracle. It really could have been, it would have been very expected to like get blown out in this game six. And I think that it might be one of the cracks in the Warriors' mystique, is that like, yes, they were playing great basketball these 5 years, but there were a lot of runs, including the Rockets last year and Portland this year, where it seemed like teams just kind of like folded. And sometimes it was like, oh, look at the Warriors, they're really dominating. And sometimes it was like, what's going on? Why are you guys like, why is this happening to you? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think there's some value in being a team that just hangs around and doesn't like that just lets stays in the game long enough for lucky breaks to go your way. And by the way, some of the lucky breaks are injuries against the other team.
Yeah. I mean, it happened to the Warriors in previous seasons. They played against teams that were decimated by injuries, and they were very, very healthy. And this is the first year that they weren't, and they just weren't healthy, you know, a lot of the season.
What did you think of Curry's series and game?
I think Curry had a really good series. I don't think that this was his best game, but, you know, you live with that. I mean, he was talking about it on the podium after the game. You know, you take a shot at the end of the game, you miss it, but that's an open shot that he lives with, right? He's going to make 40 to 45% of those shots, and he just missed that one, is how he goes into it. So from his perspective, you know, the series was good. And I don't know. I don't think that I have anything to say about him other than if he would have played better, they could have won the series. But, you know, he still played pretty good. And I don't think we have to, like, crucify him or be upset at him for losing this series. I think that, you know, he did as well as he could have. You know, I'm I wish I had a hotter take than he tried his best, but I really don't.
Well, I have a slightly hotter take, which is...
Talk to me. Let's turn the heat up here, because, well, you know, my lukewarm take is boring even myself.
Well, the thing is that, like, I don't have a super hot take, but I do feel like that we have seen Curry's... I feel like we're seeing his ceiling as a player that is undersized and is relying on so many skill-based, deception-based things that is not really able to, like, physically dominate a game. We have seen in the five finals that they've been in, or however... It's been 5 years, right? Or it's been... Yeah, they're 3-2.
Yes.
He has never really put together an amazing finals run. He's put together very good finals series, but, you know, it was not surprising that he didn't win the MVPs in the previous years. And he put up that monster game in game three or whatever it was in this one. But it's just interesting to me. I don't know where to put him now in the pantheon of players in the league. Because I think he's a great player. I think he's the best shooter of all time. I think he's the motor of all of the motion that happens in this offense. But I also think that we will never have another discussion again about whether the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant.
No.
Like, and it might also be that just in the last 5 years, people have caught up to not only neutralizing to some degree Curry's influence on a game, but also mimicking similar weapons on their side, so that, like, they aren't this outlier anymore. They're just, like, currently the best implementer of an outside-in approach. But, like,
yeah,
the philosophy is being applied in so many ways across so many different teams that it's not like some creature that teams have never encountered before.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think one of the things that I thought about was how often the Warriors shot more threes than their opponent this playoffs. I don't think that it was all the time. I think, especially in when it comes to this series, I feel like they were outshot from three just from volume perspective, right?
Yeah, I think they were.
Because I know
in the regular season, they didn't shoot. Like, they were not at the top of the league in that department. Game five, they shot more than Toronto. They shot more three-pointers than,
yes,
Toronto.
And game four, they also did... Oh, sorry. Game four, they did not. Game three, they did not. Game two... They did not. And game one, they did not. They shot less threes than the Raptors did in five out of the six games in this NBA Finals.
Let's talk
about... There's the stat right there, baby. There's the stat.
Yeah, I mean, that's significant. I mean, they also did... They have probably evolved the most... their ability to get an easy two off of their outside action than any team. But still, there is a part of you that kind of thinks with these two guys that maybe they should be getting more attempts. And I don't know how, you know, obviously they're smart guys. They know what they're doing, but it's a little surprising that with Durant out, knowing that you have to get so much offense from these two guys,
Yeah,
that in the final game of this, potentially this era, Curry took 17 shots and Thompson took 12. Like, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Even through, you know, Thompson ended up playing 32 minutes and only took 12 shots. Like, that's, he went to the line a lot, but that's still, that's not that feeling you have of, like, you want to go out gunning, you know?
Yeah, I would, I want to get those guys every shot. I mean, and I know that you can't do that. And it felt like the supporting cast had a good game, too. It wasn't like they were chopped liver. It was like a good game all around by both teams. So, you know, I think it was just really fun to see competitive basketball between two really good teams in these finals. Right? You know, last year's finals was a dud. It was a 4-0 dud. And this year's finals were, it didn't fit any narrative. All the games were exciting and fun and, you know, you hate to see the injuries, but besides that, I think this might have been the best finals that we'd had since the Cavs win, which, you know, okay, that's two finals ago. But still, they, very, very exciting, very fun.
I'm wondering when the last time we had a great finals between two teams that were complete, that had their whole rosters.
Probably the Spurs and Heat.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. You can't even say Lakers Celtics because they're going to complain that they didn't have Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, well, yeah. Heat Spurs was after that, so we're safe because I know.
I really wanted to say Lakers Celtics.
Well, you know, I think. You know, we don't talk about hockey at all in this podcast, but I was so happy to see so many Boston people unhappy.
Let's talk about Warriors fans being unhappy. Like, this didn't even seem that satisfying a win for Warriors haters.
One of the things that I read people saying is that it feels like the Golden State fans are more proud of the Warriors this year than they were any other year. Because they kind of showed a lot of heart, a lot of guts, and even though they didn't win, they're like proud of their team.
Yeah. I will point out, again, that's a very easy thing to feel with three rings in your pocket.
Super easy.
Because people can feel proud of the Blazers, too, you know? It's just harder to feel that.
Yes, definitely.
Let's talk about two players that had incredible impact on the series. One, the best player on both teams. He played 51 seconds in the finals. Jeremy Lin now has a ring.
Jeremy Lin, my guy. I wore his jersey yesterday, my Knicks Jeremy Lin jersey. So I was very happy to see that my cursing powers are not capable of coming true, right? I didn't curse KD. I didn't bless Jeremy Lin. My life is inconsequential to theirs. So I'm happy about that.
And by the way, he's a free agent. I was going to say, maybe just get on there for a minimum for next year. Cause I can actually see him with a training camp and with a summer of, you know, getting familiar with this team that I actually think he could contribute to the team. I just think he was a very tough position joining this late.
There's no way he sticks with the Raptors next year because, Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry play ahead of him. And that's just not that's not a good position for him. You know,
you think they don't want him to be their third guy, or he doesn't want to do it?
I think he doesn't. He wouldn't want to, right? If I was him, I wouldn't take anything less than a backup job, and this would be a backup job. And as you see, you don't get to play very much. I mean, and there's probably going to be somebody who's going to offer him, you know, $5 or $6 million for 1 year, right? And you get that, and you try to get one last, like, 3-year contract and then get the hell out of the league.
The only thing I would say that would I don't know anything about him. I just know that he's an Asian man. I know he probably values loyalty, is that he has moved around a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised if he just took whatever it was to stick there and get more of that winning feeling. If he really believes that the organization is a good organization, he might stick there instead of taking a chance. Because he's had a lot of going to teams and having to fight for his not for his position, but for to even like being taken seriously as a player in any way. So I'm just saying I won't be surprised if he takes a real small contract and just stays there. He's made his money. He's got money.
All right. Well, I think I would, just because, you know, they aren't even the favorites to win the title next year. We already covered that. It's the Lakers. Come back to L.A., baby.
The other player I want to talk about is the only three-peater.
Patrick McCaw. The only guy.
Congrats to him. Must be nice. How many
proud
years
of,
has he been in the league?
Proud of the guy. He's been in the league 3 years, and he's got three rings.
That's incredible. What a blessed career that is.
Absolutely blessed. It's pretty crazy.
Casey, I want to ask you this. What are you going to miss or not miss about the Golden State Warriors?
What am I going to miss about the Golden State Warriors? This year, I think what I'm going to miss about the Golden State Warriors is the drama. I think next year is going to be a drama-free Warriors team because the expectations are going to be so much lower. And this year, everything was about what's KD going to do? What's going to happen to this team? So, you know, the entire season, people looked past this Warriors team because of the drama. And I think that I'm going to miss, having them to talk about all the time in a way that feels very relevant.
Sounds good. I am not going to miss. Wait, was that a not miss or you're not going to miss?
I am going to miss the drama.
Okay. I am not going to miss people whining about the Warriors being too good. I've never cared about it. Like it will bother me if the Rockets dominate the league because I don't like the way that they play. I just don't like watching that kind of basketball. The Warriors play amazing basketball. So like I want every team to play as well as them. I want every team to be like, I want it to all be Globetrotters teams, like playing amazingly. I don't want to be the Generals. So I won't miss that. I always thought that was dumb. I understand it can be frustrating to have to root for a team that continuously goes up against them. We probably also have a little bit of privilege here because not only are we Lakers fans that have tons of rings in our memories, but we were not ever seriously contending against this Warriors team. So this Warriors team never directly frustrated our team's chances to make it to the finals.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a convenient position to be in to then appreciate how great the Warriors are. So like I was never in a position to find Draymond Green to be like an annoying presence. I always thought he was great and he played great this whole playoffs.
Oh yeah. And I totally feel you on that.
Do we do miss and not miss for the Bucks for the Raptors or do we just keep them alive for the summer?
They're alive for the summer. All right. We aren't going to miss them. We're going to be talking about them a ton. It's going to be an interesting off season because we don't know what pieces are going where, but you know, the off season is upon us.
Yeah.
We made it. Congrats.
We did. The Warriors are in a nightmare position now where they might have to potentially max out two players that are going to miss an entire season.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. The Lakers might end up with Anthony Davis.
That would be good.
That would be good. The last thing I saw was Ingram, Ball, the number 4 pick, and something else, and they have to get a third team involved or something. I would be sad if we lose. Honestly, I'd be sad if we lose Lonzo because I think it would be very interesting to see Lonzo with really good players. Like I think he's a player that facilitates the game in an interesting way. I understand not. You don't need to have Ingram and Davis on the same team together.
No, I completely agree about that.
So But you
and,
know,
you know, heck, worst comes to worst. Once LeBron retires, Ingram can come back and sign if he's an amazing player.
Yeah, I also, but all that said about Lonzo, I mean, I would also trade Lonzo as part of a package to get Anthony Davis any day of the week. Like, there's, I love him, but no.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. And, you know, I mean, I learned a lot from the Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson trade, you know. It makes me sad. You know, I love my young Lakers, but, you know, all right, let's roll it forward. Let's see what happens.
Well, plus, you know, they serve the cause by being sacrifices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Casey, it's been an amazing season.
Yes, it really has. This has truly been one of the best NBA seasons of recent memory.
And I think we're set up for probably one of the craziest off seasons that we have had access to in a while, too.
This off season is going to be weird, and I can't wait for the draft to happen and to see what goes down with all these picks that are rumored to be traded, and you know, the Anthony Davis domino and the Kyrie Irving domino. You know, there's so many weird things that are going to happen this off season. So I'm really looking forward to it.
So we should be back again. We want to do some like off season catch ups with friends of ours that have certain teams that they like.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be doing some interviews with some people, put them up on the podcast, just talking a little bit about what they love about basketball, about what, you know, their favorite things from the season were, what their favorite teams are, you know, just their stories in general. So you know, we're going to try to get to Chris on a couple of those from Australia. And then, you know, when he's in between countries, we'll get him there too. But a couple of those are just going to be me on the mic. So it'll be a fun off season. Since it's no longer the playoffs, we're probably going to go back to, you know, once a week for the podcast. So, you know, thanks to the NBA for such a great frickin' season. I love this.
Yeah. It was a great season, and all I have to say from my side is congrats to the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah. Congrats to Drake. I mean, he did it. He really did it. He made it happen.
He fist bumped all those fans on the way to a ring. He did it.
Yes, he did. He did. He made it happen. If Nick Nurse didn't get those rubdowns, maybe he wouldn't have the brain power to make all those great moves.
That's right. He was doing like on-site physical therapy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just what Drake does. He's good at it, you know? So, take it. Shouts out to Masai Ujiri for shoving a police officer out of the way to get to the celebration. He was an off-duty police officer working the game. Did you read about that, Chris?
No, I did not.
So, Alameda County is pressing charges against Masai Ujiri for shoving somebody who was trying to stop him from getting onto the court to celebrate with his team. Oh, total BS. Total BS. So,
The racial coding behind that isn't bad at all, especially for, like, a San Francisco area policeman to be involved.
Yikes. I mean, go see The Last Black Man in San Francisco this weekend, an A24 production.
Ooh. Casey, do you have any comedy shows coming up this week?
I do. I got a show on Thursday, Logan Everett's Yearbook, and that, I believe, is it.
I do not have any shows except for Thrones the Musical Parody at the Sydney Opera House through June 30th. Come see that. Everyone should fly out and see that.
Are you trying to pop into any, like, stand-up clubs, or are you just taking the time off to kind of watch the play and you know, tweak it along there?
I am mostly practicing my magic for a magic audition that I have for the Castle, Magic Castle, July 8th.
Ooh. That's awesome.
Going to the local cyber cafe and getting into online fights with people playing Dota. Today, and also, like, Australians are cheekier and trash talkier in general, I have found, as a people, and it's similarly on Dota, they are as well. They're actually more sociable as well. Like, they're not as just ragey. They're just sort of more chatty and saucy and funny in general. But it also means that I'm assuming what is a young millennial wanted my address so he could come beat me up today. I gave him the address because I'm staying in a hotel. So good luck. Come to the hotel.
Good luck. Find the come hang out at the bar. I mean, we'll throw back a pint and, you know, it'll be good times.
Come to the hotel and ask for my Steam name. Good luck having any luck with that with the front desk. But that's all I got going on.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll be back at you real soon with some Rule of Threes interviews. But happy off season. We love it.
Happy off season, and everyone plan on meeting us in Vegas for Summer League.
Woo!
Woo!
Bow, bow, bow. Red hot Rule of Threes news alert.
Yeah, emergency podcast mode activated.
Emergency podcast mode. And here's the deal. It's such an emergency that we quite literally are just going to tape it on to the end of our last podcast that we haven't released yet. So if you're hearing this, it's because you've listened all the way to the end.
Because we were about to release the reaction to the last finals game. And we had just briefly mentioned, boy,
yeah, we thought we had plenty of time.
Yeah. And we were like, this is going to be a fun off season when we get settled into it in the next couple few weeks. Nope.
No, that is not the case. It is now just an off season of disaster for every other team except for the Los Angeles Lakers, baby. It's Laker time.
And I will say,
oh my God, I was so obnoxious.
I would also say, and the New Orleans Pelicans are looking pretty good right now too.
Yeah. I think that they made a really good trade. No joke, I have just been so obnoxious to all of my friends. I've just been texting them just the same GIFs, just stickers from the Lakers app. Just, you know, just texting all my friends who are fans of other teams, just going like, hello. You know, just truly top-level troll shit. And I am so excited.
I think I alluded to this a little bit when we were talking about the so-called Lakers incompetence and drama and how I was kind of sick of the Lakers fans on Reddit being all frustrated and stuff. And I remember the thing I was saying was, look, in one offseason, if you get LeBron James, and in the second offseason, you get a significant other piece, I don't care what you have to say about Kurt Rambis and his wife and all that stuff. Like, this front office is doing shit.
They did. They did it. They're doing stuff. And okay, so let's fill everybody in on the brass tacks of the deal here. The Lakers get Anthony Davis and they trade away Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, the number 4 pick this year, and 2 other first round picks. The word around the league is also that in the interim between those years, they have offered the Pelicans pick swaps. So this is a Nets trading for the core of the Boston Celtics level deal here.
Mm-hmm. So it is a big package that they're sending. You know who I would rather they have sent instead of Lonzo Ball or Josh Hart, but
yes, I certainly do.
And I, on that end, I am a little surprised that out of the 4 guys, that Kuzma was the one that they either picked, or maybe Kuzma's the one that the Pelicans didn't want. Maybe the Pelicans think similarly to me. But
yeah, I certainly feel like, yeah, the Pelicans wanted him, and the Lakers wanted him too. And I think that they're both probably over time going to be like, I don't think it really mattered.
Yeah. It's a big package. It's funny, online sympathies have basically been split for people that are upset about it. What I've been reading, people have been split between 2 feelings. One is, oh, I can't believe the Lakers, who are so incompetent, got rewarded by this. The second one was, oh, the Lakers are screwed over because they've traded away too much for Anthony Davis. Which I think are both just like bad takes. I think, it is a gigantic, package of assets that they're sending, but Anthony Davis is probably like, I think that the generational talent thing is very overstated. Like, it's just a phrase that gets used a lot, but I think I would qualify him as one of the generational talents that have passed through the league.
Yeah. Oh, I super would too. I mean, he is just so good, and he's never really had a team that he could shine with, right? He's been to the playoffs, but he's gotten swept out a couple of times. It's not been good for him in the postseason. And, you know, all that talk that we did yesterday about the Lakers kind of being like, all right, well, we're the favorites now to win the title at certain sports books. Did they get tipped off? Did people know? Like, what is this, a conspiracy that we have to worry about?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe we should have taken that 9-2 bet yesterday.
Oh, it's a much better bet today. Yeah. I think it's 4-1 now.
Uh-huh. Geez. So the crazy thing is, so first of all, I guess, yes, this could all blow up in the Lakers' face if he doesn't re-sign. I think there seem to have been, people are rumored to say that there are assurances that he will. He's also a Rich Paul client. So basically, a lot of this year has been me disparaging people and then having them, you know, deliver in ways that I don't expect them to. So Kyle Lowry did great in the last game of the finals. Rich Paul, who I think is kind of a clown, is delivering Anthony Davis to the Lakers.
Is he delivering them to the Lakers or is he delivering them to LeBron James?
Oh, I'm sorry, to the Los Angeles LeBrons.
Yes, I mean, because like he didn't do it for the Lakers, he did it for LeBron and he did it for Anthony Davis.
Yes,
so they can team up in Space Jam 2 now in pre-production.
Yeah. You know what I would love is if Julius Randle would turn down his player option and sign for a minimum with the Lakers. That's what I would like.
I have never felt more confident that I can predict every minimum signing just out of this world minimum signing than right now this year with the Lakers. There's just going to be so many random out of the woodworks like, oh, that guy? That guy? And none of them are going to be good. It's going to be so stupid, and I'm so excited.
I mean, it's going to be like meta world peace, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf,
Khalid El-Amin. Anybody who's played in the Big Three and played well gets to be on this Lakers team.
Yeah, and Jimmer Fredette.
Yes. Oh, God. Hey, we're going to trade for him because he's currently signed to the Suns.
Yeah. Now, here's what I will say about that. The fact that the Lakers have traded away, you know, an immense package of picks. First of all, it is a great deal for New Orleans. He was not happy there. So they're really getting such a terrific package of stuff. Plus Zion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Pelicans are set up for a couple of years. And like, I don't know who from that deal is going to stick in New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, it certainly seems like you would want to keep at least two of them. But there's a chance that they move on from one or two of those guys to get other assets, too.
Yeah.
Because they're really going for that rebuild.
Now, as far as, it being too much of a package, I will say this, though. This is what's kind of crazy. Is that if he re-signs, if he is here for like the long term, Anthony Davis is, let's see, I'm just doing the math on this. He is basically 2 years older than Josh Hart.
Yeah.
He is currently,
he's 26.
26 years old. And he is a big man.
Yeah. He and Kyle Kuzma is 4 years older than him.
Oh, is he really? No, that's not possible.
No, that's a joke.
No, but that's like, but he's...
Kyle Kuzma's not 30, but he's close.
But Anthony Davis, for someone who has played 7 years in the league, is going to be 26 going into the next one. So, like, that's incredible.
Yeah, and he's already gotten a lot of injuries out of the way, so we can guarantee that he's going to be completely healthy for 10 years.
Absolutely, and you know that big men don't get injured, generally. They're much more durable than big little guys.
Oh, yeah. If you're a 7-footer who can handle the ball and play good defense, like, you're super safe. You're a super safe bet to not get injured.
Now, I will say, I think the Lakers are going to be very fun on offense this next year.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be an absolute blast. Except for, like, the first 10 games when it's going to be like, what the fuck is going on? Frank Vogel has no idea what to do with this.
Oh, Frank Vogel. He must be, people are forgetting. Be stoked.
He is so stoked. And Jason Kidd. Oh, man. It's going to be so great when he's coaching a year and a half.
Well, guess great. Good thing they got Jason Kidd to help, you know, really tutor Lonzo Ball in the art of being a point guard.
Yes. It'd be so funny if Jason Kidd came in and he was just like, nah, I ain't fucking with those Ball family. Get them the fuck out of here.
Now
that obviously didn't happen.
Like I said, the Pelicans are in amazing shape. They're going to have, and also I said this sort of facetiously, but I am curious if Randall is going to like opt back into his contract, because I would say that Zion Williamson is very similar to Julius Randall. I don't think they're going to have a lot of playing time on the court together.
I certainly wouldn't see them playing a lot together either.
Yeah.
If they do, they're going to go full on athleticism blitz. Yeah. Right. It, you know, and like, that's not to say that those guys aren't, they're just short. That's the only thing is that they're short, but that doesn't mean that they can't play defense.
No,
Julius Randle can't play defense just because he can't play defense.
Right. It's not because of his physicality.
If
they go Randle and Zion at the same time, it's basically like, the two tight ends from the football team in their off season are playing basketball as well.
Yeah.
They've
got the talent, they've got the skill, but do they have the scheme to prevent them from getting run over by people who are playing?
Yeah, although basketball? They don't have builds that are dissimilar to Draymond Green, who is an incredible defensive player.
No.
It's just in the brain, I
mean,
think.
Yes, it is. The only difference is that Draymond Green is, you know, he's a guy, and Zion Williamson is like if the Hulk was Draymond Green.
Right. Now here's the crazy thing.
Wait, he's just so much stronger.
Correct me if I'm wrong about this. The Lakers still have a max slot they can sign somebody with?
They still have a very close to max slot they can sign somebody with. So here's the problem, is that this could be a tortured process. From what I heard, they will have the most cap space if they sign somebody, if like this deal that was agreed to today happens after they sign their first round player. So they sign the first round player, they wait 30 days, and then they trade everybody for AD. Then they'll have 32 million or something. And if not, they have like 28 million. There's some long, complicated scenario. And it's like, there's a chance that Anthony Davis does not get introduced as a Laker until August 1st.
Okay.
So, and that would be just the silliest, dumbest, stupidest thing.
Now,
I would love it so, so much.
I'll just tell you that, let me tell you who is officially on the books now for the Lakers on their team right now.
All right.
LeBron James.
Yes.
Assuming that these trades, you know, happen, this trade happens. We have Kyle Kuzma.
Yes.
On the books, we still have Isaac Bonga.
Yes, we do.
And I thought, did we not trade away Mo Wagner, or do we still have Mo Wagner?
Mo Wagner is not traded. He is still on the team.
Okay, so we traded away Svi, I believe, right?
We traded Svi, we traded Zubats.
So that's it. Right now we have LeBron, Kuzma,
it.
Bonga, and Wagner, and would have Davis. So there you go. That's your team.
And, hey, congrats to the Los Angeles Lakers. They've got five people.
on the books is still
they've got cap space
for three more years. I think that's it. I think the sheet is clean other than that.
Okay, so here's the deal. They've got space for a max-like player, right?
Right.
Do they go for a max-like player, or do they get about three guys who can shoot?
Well, let me float some names to you.
And also re-sign Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, you think they will? I guess they need a point guard now.
There's no reason not to if he'll come for much less than he did last year when they overpaid him.
Right. I just hope that the Rich Paul factor doesn't kick in and they re-sign KCP. I don't want them to sign KCP again.
Oh, Lord.
Now, how do you feel about if they use the max, the near max slot and get yourself a Kemba Walker?
I would love that. I think Kemba Walker would be a great fit for that team. Right? Kemba Walker is not a good defender, but everything else he is fantastic at. I think he's a perfect complement to LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah. I would say it seems like latest words are that Kyrie is probably going to Brooklyn. I feel like I think KD and Klay are going to stay in Golden State.
Yeah. I think they stay now. I don't think there's any way they leave.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter where they go because neither of them is playing next year. So why move? why pack up your house and move somewhere? Although technically they could
take the money.
KD could just sign with the Knicks and just not move for a year. Could just be like,
yeah, you know, that sounds like fun.
And the Knicks can just be like, we signed a free agent. We're stashing him for a year. Spurs style.
Yeah, that's it. And oh, God, it would be such a funny Knicks thing to do to just, we're stashing a free agent. We're just going to, absolutely, no problem.
I mean, I have a feeling that they will try to get a one big name as opposed to, and I mean, that makes sense anyway, because you can always go for the one big name and then split it up for smaller contracts if you miss on the big names. Did you see that Jimmy Butler is likely to decline his player option?
I believe that he already did.
Okay.
My understanding is that he is a free agent, and they knew that going in, like that was going to happen.
Uh-huh. So how are you feeling about a Jimmy Butler on this team?
Jimmy Butler does not super fit well next to the other two. I'm not a huge Jimmy Butler guy. I like Jimmy Butler, but I don't think he's a great fit next to LeBron and Anthony Davis because nobody shoots threes. I mean, if they had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in the backcourt, yeah, great job. But I don't like the fit. I wouldn't go for Jimmy Butler. I think I'd rather have like a combo of, whatever shooters are on the market. I mean, we really just need to address the fact that nobody on the Lakers can shoot a three-pointer.
Well, I wonder if here's a thing where you'd worry a little about the so-called Lakers front office is I basically agree with you, but then there's a part of me that also thinks like just get the best players and sort it out. But I wonder if let's say they miss on Kemba Walker, and I don't think that Kyrie or KD or Klay are going to sign with the Lakers. Do they then sort of like kill themselves trying to get Jimmy Butler on the team instead of looking at what you're saying, something a little bit more of like build a whole team? Because really, you've got LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's enough pieces to start building complementary aspects to the team as opposed to like loading up and having, three guys and a bunch of scrubs.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
what chance do you think there is that somebody like JJ Redick comes over on a 1 year?
Well, JJ Redick is a good. I mean, he's certainly somebody you want for the shooting. I mean, I would love it. Somebody I don't know. Like
Wayne Ellington.
JJ Redick, I will say, might, because he's definitely got some like media aspirations. And he was hosting a podcast for a while. He is definitely like open to this like post basketball career. And, I could see like just from a very practical, I want to raise my profile point of view. I think it would be a smart choice, like from a career to come to LA and be on this team and be just very in focus. Now, as great a shooter as he has been in his career, he still hasn't really had like a ton of like great moments of, you know, that almost every other shooter you can think of, like, you know, Ray Allen or Steve Kerr or Curry or Steve Nash, have had those like moments where you're like, oh man, they really unloaded and like they won that game. Clay certainly has had a bunch. He really hasn't had that, which is kind of interesting. He is,
yeah.
He is, I'm reading this. He is one of only six players that's shot 200 or more, made 200 or more three-pointers in four seasons or more. Would you like to guess what the other five players are?
Okay. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Yes.
James Harden.
Yes.
Ray Allen.
Yes. One left.
And one left. Ooh, this is tough. This is tough. I'm just gonna go. God, Kobe Bryant?
Nope. I think Kobe is too. His career was too early for this era. This is a yeah. current player. Went pretty deep in the playoffs this year.
Okay. Went pretty deep in the playoffs. Damian Lillard?
That's right.
There we go. Hey, all right, cool.
So if I give you those five players Thanks. And said J.J. Redick is also in that crew, like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive. And he's very obviously the worst member of that crew.
Oh, for sure.
But here's the other thing. J.J. Redick never missed the playoffs, basically. I'm pretty sure he only missed the playoffs maybe one time.
Oh, wow.
So if
I would love to have J.J. Redick
with the Lakers. They're in the playoffs.
I would love to have J.J. Redick on the team, even though he's a Duke player and I don't really like Duke players.
That's fair. Hey, we got rid of one Duke player in a trade, so why don't we bring one back on? All right, the equilibrium is balanced.
Let's see. Who was the Duke player that we got rid of?
Brandon Ingram.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Was he there for like three games or something? let's see. Seven.
He was
eight,
there for
nine,
one
ten.
Year. Yeah.
Unless, let me see. I believe J.J. Redick has not missed the playoffs. 2, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Nope. He's been in the playoffs every single year of his career, which is pretty incredible.
Right. And so, I kind of talked about this one time, before on the podcast, he's been in the playoffs every year. He's been on good, successful teams. He's been to the finals. He hasn't won. He's not a Hall of Fame player. No. But he's like in that top tier of like, these guys are good, good, solid NBA players. Great uh-huh. career. I mean, you know, right, if he wins four championships at the end of his career but doesn't like contribute a ton, like when he signs with the Lakers and they go for four straight, you know, like that kind of thing. Does that change his trajectory? I don't think so, because he's not, you know, going to be that star of a player. He's always going to be that role player. But
yeah,
I think he's had the best career that he could have had.
He, actually, I think that's true. He's certainly maximized his talents. He is number 22 on the list of 3-point field goals made in the playoffs in the history of the NBA.
Right.
He has 9 more 3-pointers made than Kawhi Leonard. In the playoffs.
Well,
and
we'll see how that changes over time.
But here's another crazy thing. Number 17 on this list, and I believe also available as an unrestricted free agent this summer, someone who I guarantee you
Kyle
don't
Korver?
want us to sign. No, Danny Green.
Danny Green. That is a very interesting setup.
I mean, he...
I would super sign Danny Green.
Okay.
You know, as long as the price was right.
Yeah.
I think he's a great fit for that team. Right. He's not great, but he doesn't need to be great. He just needs to shoot 3-pointers and he'll make 35% to 45% of them. And that's, and he's a good defensive player. And right.
Yeah.
You know, we can't expect the players who they sign afterwards to be just like the most amazing players. They're going to have flaws. And if Danny Green wants to come to Los Angeles, you know, I don't see how Toronto lets him go or how he leaves, but yeah, sure. Why the fuck not?
I'll throw another couple names at you. Rodney Hood, okay. And Seth Curry.
Is Seth Curry an unrestricted?
He's listed on this site as unrestricted.
Damn. Yes, sign Seth Curry. Abso-fucking-lutely. Rodney Hood, no. I don't like Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood fucking sucks.
He played well.
Getting Rodney Hood the fuck out of here. Fuck Rodney Hood. Get him the shit out of here. This shit's done. I'm done with Rodney Hood. Get him all the way the hell out of here.
It sounds like you want to send him to Utah and tell them all to bug off.
He already played in Utah, okay? We can't have any more Rodney Hood in Utah.
Good Lord, Portland's salary roster was very high this year.
They can't afford to bring Steph Curry back.
Seth Curry is an unrestricted free agent. He made $2.8 million this last year, so he's definitely going to get more than that this summer.
He could get more, but he could also get less if he wants.
You mean if he wants
for the Lakers?
Yeah, I feel like he will definitely get more than that.
Also, do not discount the fact that his father-in-law coaches an LA team.
Wait, he's dating who again?
He is married
to Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers' daughter.
There you go. And you could be closer to the whole family.
Closer to the family. All right. Honestly.
Who knows where Dell lives?
Signed, sealed, delivered.
But who knows where Dell lives? Does Dell live perfectly equidistant between San Francisco and Portland currently? He has a house with a line down the middle of it. Like a Batman.
He lives in Yreka in the north of California. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Definitely he's up there.
I'll throw another name at you. Enes Kanter.
Oh, no. No need for Enes Kanter. No way.
But you know, Enes Kanter is exactly the kind of like name that you're talking about that might be a random name that just shows up on the team.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
I've got a name for you. Are you ready for it?
You might be looking at the same name that I'm looking at. What is it?
I certainly am not. This name, it starts with a car and ends with a the. It's Carmelo Anthony.
That is exactly the name I was looking at right now. Because you were you were talking about the random kind of people that might end up on this team. And he is definitely one of them.
Ugh. Just gross. Totally gross.
What is Chris Bosh's health update these days?
He is officially retired. No more Chris Bosh in the NBA. He's done.
Okay, I would just say...
he's not coming back.
Stranger things have happened. That's all I'll say.
Yes, no. No Chris Bosh. If we're going to speculate, let's get the speculation all the way out there. Birdman. Chris Birdman Anderson. Who else could come back? Lamar Odom. Let's bring him back. It's Lamar time. All right. He's on the road to recovery. And what better way to recover than with a ring?
Mm-hmm.
Who else you got for me?
By the way, this whole setup of like LeBron, AD, some crazy roster is like the perfect setup to get back to the finals and lose to the Raptors.
Oh, 100%.
To get back to the finals and just lose to a well-coached, tight team.
You know who would be a really good fit next to AD and LeBron? Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't see that happening, but sure.
I also don't see it happening, but that'd be fucking insane, right?
I'll throw another name.
I mean, this podcast has gone off the shelf of irresponsibility.
Well, expect a full summer of this from Lakers fans.
Oh, yeah. And I cannot wait to contribute to the cacophony of idiocy. I am so ready for this. It is truly going to be the best and worst summer. And I'm going to do my part to just rile up every person I can yell at a convenience store while doing it. I'm going to go to every convenience store in the city and just say, Lakers, baby! Lakers!
Now, I would say... let me throw another name at you. Vince Carter.
Vince fucking Carter is on the Lakers. It is guaranteed. He is signing. There's no problem. Vince Carter, Laker for life.
By the way, what's the status for Jamal Crawford these days?
Jamal Crawford, Laker.
Because
he was on the Phoenix Suns last year.
Let's see. Machine Gortat.
Machine Gortat, Laker. 100% count it. He is a Laker for sure.
I will Machine say Gortat. This is a case where I do really wish we had kept Zubats.
Here's the thing. Zubats, not on his deal anymore. Restricted free agent. No way they would have been able to afford him. They had to renounce him.
He's restricted? He's here as without a contract for next year. But
Yeah, so he's a restricted free agent next year because he was a second-round draft pick instead of a first-round draft pick.
Okay. Anyway, this is going to be a fun summer.
Oh, now this is going to be fun.
Yeah, what is that? That sounds like something.
What is that? That's the cover of Sports Illustrated with Dwight and Steve Nash.
Oh, and
the calling card of every poor Lakers fan in the world. Now this is going to be fun.
And by the way, wasn't that a fun season? They went right to the finals. Oh, and
I mean,
won,
I had
the
nothing but fun.
They just dominated.
I remember
all
when
year.
I heard the news.
Yeah.
It was the 4th of July, and I was just blasted in Hermosa Beach, and we were just having the best time just whooping and yelling about all the great Lakers news, and we were so excited. And then we had to, like, drive people home who were just absolutely just dying of being so drunk from the 4th of July, and it was a mess. It was a nightmare. It wasn't anywhere near as much fun as I thought it was going to be. And then the Lakers season happened, and it was a perfect match.
Okay, I'm going to throw quick names at you. You just say yes or no, whether you want them on the team.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say Laker forever, or I'm going to say get that shit the fuck out of here.
Okay, here we go. Zach Randolph.
Laker forever.
JJ Barea.
Get that shit the fuck out of here.
Kostas Antetokounmpo.
No chance. Get that shit the fuck out of here.
Alec Burks.
Laker forever.
Corey Brewer.
Get that shit the fuck out of here.
Jeremy Lin.
Laker for life.
Dwayne Dedmon.
Who gives a fuck?
Wayne Ellington.
Laker for life. That's a good signing if we get Wayne Ellington.
Bojan Bogdanovic.
Oh, Laker for life. All right, John Wick 3 forever.
Was he in John Wick 3?
Yes, he was the first guy to get killed in John Wick 3.
Oh,
was
really?
Amazing. He's so bad at acting. It's so funny.
Let me throw another one at you. Ricky Rubio.
No, get that shit the fuck out of here. Ricky Rubio's a poor fit.
Let's see. By the way, according to the salary things I'm looking at, these are all guys that are available.
Yes. Definitely available.
Alfred
Ricky
Payton?
Rubio's out of the price range. Get that shit the fuck out of here, but lightly. I mean, if they end up with Alfred Payton, fine. He just can't shoot.
Yeah. where is Swaggy P playing right now? Is he available?
Swaggy P is playing at the Rucker. Swaggy P is playing this summer at the Drew League. He signed for 4 games with the Nuggets this year. It didn't work out. Swaggy P, unfortunately, I love him. I had a jersey that said Swaggy P on the back. Get the fuck out of here.
So this is another name that I think is very along the lines of what you're talking about. Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay. He's worth too much money. There's no way they can afford him. But if they could get him for the veterans minimum, Laker for life.
How about Derrick Rose?
Derrick Rose, get that shit the fuck out of here.
He made $2 million last year.
Here's the thing. It's happening. But get that shit the fuck out of here. He's a Laker for life. Get that shit the fuck out of here.
I mean, that is exactly the kind of name that's going to end up on this team.
It's exactly the kind of name that's going to end up on the Lakers.
Let's see. Who else have we got? Ariza? Trevor Ariza? Could be useful.
Laker for life.
Let's see. I'm just going through all the available people that I'm just looking at the teams, seeing who we got. We've gotten some pretty good names. Here's a good one. Justin Holiday.
Oh, Laker for life. 100%. That's a Laker. He's a Laker. Count it.
Okay. This is a tough one. It's really not a tough one. Iman Shumpert.
Get that shit the fuck out of here.
Gerald Green.
Laker for life. Gerald Green be a great pickup.
Joey Chi from China.
Get that shit the fuck out of here.
He's he's starting on the Lakers next year, I've decided. Jose Calderon.
Okay. Get that shit the fuck out of here and into a retirement home. Get out of here, Jose Calderon. Yeah. You're done.
Okay, I'm almost done. I can't believe this guy's still in the league. Jody Meeks, former Laker.
Get that shit the fuck out of here. Jody Meeks, NBA champion.
Let me tell you another name that is in the same line that will definitely end up on this team. Raymond Felton.
Oh my God. Raymond Felton. Laker for life. I think Raymond Felton would be an absolutely fine pickup.
But you know that that's happening. It's Raymond Felton for sure.
Yes. Oh, 100%. It's Ray Felton, number one in our hearts and number one at Cat's Deli.
Did Udonis Haslem retire or is he still coming back?
He will never play for anyone other than the Miami Heat.
Yeah, he is available though. But yes, he is one of the lifers, right? He's been on the same team. This is my last name for you. Why did the league give up on Miloš Teodosic?
I mean, he got injured a lot. He came into the league at 32 and, you know, he just was injured too much.
He seemed like he was pretty good when he was playing.
I was all hyped on him when he was here, but he just was injured a lot. He's old.
Mm.
So he's not a good three-point shooter. He's just fine. He's mostly just like a flashy passer. So,
there's one name.
There's one name that you haven't said that is apparently on the market because he has been asked out. Rumors are that he is asked out of the current city that he's in.
Ooh, who's that?
None other than your favorite State Farm spokesman, Christopher Paul.
Oh, good Lord. Please, please, no.
I just love a good Chris. Good Lord.
this would be...
Yeah, he's apparently wants a trade out.
This would just ruin my whole summer if this is what happens.
It's not going to happen. There's no way it happens. But I mean, I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you say it. Okay, is he a Laker for life or is he a get that shit the fuck out of here?
No, he's get out forever. Get out of take you and your fake twin brother out of my entire media bubble.
I want it. Chris, I want to hear you say, get that shit the fuck out of here.
Get that shit the fuck out of here, Chris Paul.
Yeah!
I'm gonna throw Chris Paul out of the league the way he throws a ball out of the court when he's in crunch time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so fucking amped right now. I'm literally wired. I can't even describe to you how amped I am.
By the way, how would that happen? Would that be some crazy trade where they took on that gigantic salary?
Yes. Yeah, that's the only way it happens.
What would they possibly trade to match that? Like,
well, so they've got Mo Wagner, right? Uh-huh. And they've got Isaac Bonga.
Don't you have to come within like 15% of the salary or something?
Not if you absorb him into cap space. You know. Yeah.
So this is your starting five for the Lakers next year. Chris Paul, Kyle Kuzma,
because he's gone to Houston in the Chris Paul trade.
Okay, so Chris Paul, Raymond Felton, Vince Carter, Anthony Davis, and Enes Kanter because LeBron got injured.
Oh, we like to have fun here on the Rule of Threes podcast.
I mean, look, this is why, like, I think this year proves that just because a player comes to the Lakers doesn't mean I end up being, like, their fan, because I'm still very ambivalent about LeBron. But, like, if next year they trot out LeBron, AD, Kuzma, Chris Paul, and Carmelo Anthony, it's just gonna make me want to hit fast forward on the whole season and just get to the point where it's just AD and we can build around him for his years 28 to 32.
Yeah. And we won't be able to build because all of our draft picks are gone. So yeah. I feel like doing the Warner Brothers frog dance. Hello, my lady. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime girl.
Well, I'm so excited. Anthony Davis is top three player in the league. I think he's great. And
top three. That's intense. Top three. I would say top six.
I think he was playing at an MVP level for like 2 months of this year at the top of the season.
You got Paul George, you got LeBron James, you got Stephen Curry, you got Kevin Durant, you got Anthony Davis, and you got Devin Booker.
I mean, Devin Booker's clear number one. Consensus number one.
Yeah, obviously.
I think in terms of Giannis.
Giannis is the other top six player.
Or put it this
way. And then Kawhi. We forgot about Kawhi.
Put it this way. For building, if you were cold drafting from the league for the next 5 years, I think it would be Giannis and Anthony Davis would be your top two picks for building around for the next 5 years.
Okay. All right, great. I like that.
So, I mean, we're in good shape. He's a great player. I can't wait to see him, like, regularly. Like, to be able to put down, what's probably now, I was going to say $30, but it's now probably going to be $60 to get in the back section of Staples to see him. By the way, I absolutely have no hope of getting off the season ticket waiting list this summer. That's definitely not happening.
Yeah. You're done, son.
I really should have bought it 2 summers ago. Just didn't have the money at the time.
You know what? We live, we make mistakes, and together we will grow.
All right, Casey, I'm very excited.
Yes. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is absolutely wild. Anthony Davis, I get to wear my Anthony Davis jersey that says no LA, and I get to change the no to a yes. Oh, I'm so excited.
All right, man. See you later.
Okay, bye.